This is it. Episode 100 of 4Q. Over the past 99 episodes, we have gone from the blue zones to the bird flu, from Kellogg's enemas to cholesterol chemistry, and from goat gland hucksters to the microbiome. Today, we are celebrating the best and the worst, the scientist who changed medicine and the scammers who tried to sell it back to us in a bottle. Welcome to 4Q Hall of Fame and Shame. I am your chief medical explanationist, Dr. Terry Simpson, and this is 4Q, Fork University, where we bust myths, make sense of the madness, and teach you a little bit about food and medicine. I'm going to start with Ansel Keys, the most misunderstood scientist of today, but not of his time. Ansel Keys gave us the Mediterranean diet long before influencers turned olive oil into content. Ansel Keys didn't guess. He measured. He didn't speculate. He studied. Keys built one of the most careful and longest-running cohort studies in all of medical history. He and his team went village by village across seven countries, collecting everything people ate, sending those foods back to laboratories for precise nutrient analysis. Every year, they performed blood work, EKGs, physical examinations. They combed through the hospital charts of the patients, death certificates, and medical records, not for months, but for decades. That is science the hard way. Observation, precision, patience. For critics like Gary Taubes, who claim Keys left out countries, that accusation only proves he never read Keys's actual papers. Keys didn't study nations. He studied cohorts of men in villages within those nations, following them year after year to see how the diet and diseases progressed. Keys wasn't chasing fame. He was following evidence. Even without today's molecular tools, his data pointed straight to what modern lipid science later confirmed. Apolipoprotein B, the protein that escorts LDL cholesterol, is actively transported into arterial walls and starts atherosclerosis, the root of heart disease. So when modern influencers dismiss Keys with a tweet or a podcast rant, remember, they've got microphones, Keys has data. They have followers. Keys left us with the foundation of preventive cardiology, and if you want to honor him, drizzle olive oil instead of conspiracy. And I owe a special thanks to Dr. Harry Blackburn, who worked with Keys at Minnesota and still shares stories from those early days of the seven-country study, a labor of love that defined modern nutritional science. I'm going to go back in time now to Dr. Frederick Banting and Charles Breast and the children who woke up. I want you to picture this. 1922, the University of Toronto. Dr. Banting and a medical student named Charles Best discovered how to collect insulin out of pancreases of lots of animals. They purified that insulin. And then Dr. Frederick Banting, in one of the most amazing moments in modern medicine, went to a children's hospital. Here, children had slipped into a coma, and their families were simply waiting for them to die from what we now know as type 1 diabetes. Instead, he went by those children, one at a time, and injected insulin. And the children woke up, and the children were able to live normal lives because of this remarkable discovery of insulin. Their parents were able to hug them again, talk to them again, and many of these children lived into their 70s and 80s when they were expected to die as teenagers. And I want you to think back to the 1920s when people said, oh, they could feed, and their food was much better then, and those parents fed them. But diet alone didn't stop death. Good science did. And it still does a century later. Banting sold that patent for a dollar because he thought it should belong to everybody. Too bad modern pharmaceuticals don't do the same. In one of my favorite episodes was about Dr. Kinihara Takaki and the first vitamin. So decades before anybody knew the word vitamin, there was a Japanese surgeon, Dr. Kinihara. And he had noticed that sailors were dying of what we now know as beriberi on long voyages. Dr. Kinihara was a very careful surgeon. He had been initially trained in Eastern surgery, but he became retrained in Western surgery, actually going to London and learning at St. Mark's Hospital. He even studied with people like Charles Mayo, who was actually a fellow student of his. When he went back, he used epidemiology, and he learned epidemiology from John Snow himself, the guy who discovered that the Broad Street water pump was the source of cholera in London. Those principles of epidemiology brought Kitahara back, and he noticed that the sailors who had a more vigorous diet, balanced diet, didn't suffer from symptoms of beriberi. And he attributed it to what became later known as thiamine. Had Dr. Kitahara lived longer, he would have shared the Nobel Prize for the discovery of thiamine, but unfortunately he died. But his careful discovery, his careful research, his careful epidemiology saved more people in the Japanese Navy than anything else. Because more people died in the Japanese Imperial Navy from beriberi than any died from bullets. And he's also known for bringing Japan into modern medicine. Next, I want to come back to someone who's a contemporary of mine, Dr. Leonard Hayflick. He unfortunately died a few years ago, but he was the original longevity doctor. In 1961, Leonard Hayflick, a PhD, wasn't studying nutrition. He was studying life itself. He was looking at cell cultures, and he discovered that human cell cultures divided about 50 times, stopped, went into senescence, and then ultimately died. That became the Hayflick limit, and that simple observation has rewritten biology. It proved that aging isn't mystical or mental, it occurs at a cellular level. Each division of a cell uses a bit of our genetic clock until the cell retires from service. He wasn't finding out about food or supplements, it was truth. It became the foundation of regenerative medicine and cell biology, showing us why cells repair, slow, and rest, learning the first bit about telomeres. If there was ever a real longevity doctor, that whole science started with Leonard Hayflick. No ring light, no powders, just a microscope and the courage to question dogma. Speaking of modern nutrition, two decades after Keyes came the DASH diet and the portfolio diet teams. DASH stands for the Dietary Approach to Stop Hypertension. And that came from a dream team of scientists. At Johns Hopkins, it was Dr. Lawrence Appel, who led the NIH. At Pennington Biomedical, Dr. George Bray, Donna Ryan, Catherine Champagne built the menus. And at Harvard, Dr. Frank Sachs crunched the numbers. Their 1997 study proved that a diet rich in fruits, vegetables, whole grains, low-fat dairy, and low salt could lower blood pressure without weight loss. Then there was the portfolio diet. Dr. David Jenkins and his team from the University of Toronto, again, like Dr. Banting and Best, they discovered about fiber and how it was the first drug tools used against high cholesterol. Their combination of soy, nut-soluble fiber, and plant sterols cut LDL by up to 17%. Culinary medicine at its finest. And yet some will say we need more salt. The DASH team proved otherwise. Unless, of course, you're selling a mango-flavored electrolytes on TikTok. And now, let's talk about a place where surgery became science. If you ever find yourself in Edinburgh, skip the kilt shops and go to the Surgeons Hall Museum. There you will find where Lister showed how antisepsis improved surgical outcomes. There you will find where Syme, who was actually not only Lister's chairman, but father-in-law, careful anatomy left dissections and operations that we still use and I have used to this day. There you will find where James Young Simpson discovered how chloroform couldn't be used as an anesthetic in surgery. And you will find a young medical student named Arthur Conan Doyle studied under Dr. Joseph Bell, that sharp-eyed diagnostician who inspired Sherlock Holmes. That's where medicine learned to observe, deduce, and prove. And from those halls, the art of observation became the science of evidence. It was the birthplace of modern diagnosis and the foundation of modern American education. We'll be touring that museum on my TikTok channel this November because understanding where science began and where medicine and surgery began is as important to know where it's going. But Hall of Fame, we also have the Hall of Shame. We're going to start with Gary Brecka, the biohacking hype man. Every generation has a snake oil salesman. Ours just streams in high definition. Gary Brecka calls himself a biologist who can predict your date of death and move it for a fee. No medical degree, no doctorate. He has a bachelor's degree and some borrowed scrubs. He went to chiropractic school, but apparently never finished. He sells hydrogen water bottles, claiming that there are over 1,400 studies proving it's the best in the world. There aren't that many studies. He says that cold plunges melt flat. They don't. And if they did, every Alaskan fisherman would look like Thor. He and his buddies yuck it up online on his podcast, calling it science, but it's show business with a pulse oximeter. Then there's Dr. No, she's not a doctor. It's actually just Barbara O'Neill, the preacher, not the professor. She's more Seventh-day Adventist than scientist. She claims that cayenne pepper can stop a heart attack and cholesterol is a pharmaceutical plot. She charges thousands of dollars for her seminars while ignoring decades of research. The Crestor that I use costs 70 cents a month. I'm pretty sure she's the only one making money off of that. Now to the shirtless salesman of supplements and scams. Compare the scientists between the Mediterranean Dash and portfolio diets to today's influencers and you'll see two different species. The researchers spent decades on data. The salesmen spend minutes on marketing. There's Paul Saladino, the carnivore who discovered fruit when steak stopped selling. The salt slingers hawking electrolyte powder for $39.99 a bag. And Dr. Gundry, the never shirtless but always pedantic ex-surgeon selling Bean Guard for $60 a month. And of course, who can forget the Liver King, whose muscles came from a needle, not cow liver. Scientists understand the chemistry and biology, and scammers understand lightning and marketing. Ansel Keys was the Hitchens of his day, able to slay nonsense with a sentence. But most scientists aren't showmen. They're too busy doing their work. The scammers pretend their wealth came from helping people, but it comes from powders and placebos. So next time someone with a six-pack on a Shopify account say they reinvented nutrition, remember this. Science doesn't need an affiliate link. And that brings us to the Rio heroes. The heroes that you may know in your community today. They were the doctors, the nurse, the therapist, the healthcare workers who showed up every day during the pandemic before we had a vaccine. While the supplement salesmen surfed and sold powders, these people suited up and saved lives. Give your fellow nurse and doctor who were present at that time a handshake. At the end of 100 episodes, here's what I know. Science doesn't need to be sexy to save lives. Our job, our mission, is to build the bridge between real scientists and you, the public. My background's in science and medicine, but my mission is to bring you the quiet truth from labs and hospitals, but not under a ring light. And it's my joy to share the work of people whose idea of glory is a pat on the back from a colleague, not a link on Amazon. Because around every life-saving discovery is a scientist who will never trend on TikTok, but they're the ones who actually changed the world. That's what ForQ has always been about, separating noise from nutrition, hype from health, and reminding you that evidence always outlasts the algorithm. This has been ForQ, ForQ University, researched and written by me, Dr. Terry Simpson. All things audio is in production by Simpler Media and the pod god himself, Mr. Evo Terra. For references and more episodes, visit ForQ.com and YourDoctorsOrders.com. And remember this, I am a board-certified physician, but I am not your physician. This podcast is for education, not personal medical advice. After 100 episodes, thank you for listening, for thinking, and being a part of this journey. Here's to the next 100, and to science over salesmanship. Hey, Evo, you've been here for all 100 episodes of ForQ, and a few of the episodes in our trials before that. Who are the heroes and quacks in this enterprise? And thanks for making me sound better than I am.
It has been truly my pleasure, my friend. Ooh, and if I'm the hero, can I wear a cape?